This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662. Or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In on your Intelligent Medicine podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. I also appreciate all of your questions, all of your comments, and you can send your questions and comments to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I've got a terrific question that was emailed to me recently. Mary says, a friend of mine today told me about a meat substitute, beyondmeat.com. Maybe some of you listening have heard of it. Well, I'm looking at this because I'm not happy having to eat meat. And what this product is a plant-based, quote, meat, end quote, with lots of protein. Could you please take a look at it? Give me your opinion. What I would like to do is completely replace my current meat intake with this, since it has the required protein that I need for my bones. Mary is a woman who is elderly and is concerned for her bones because of osteopenia and osteoporosis. And Mary wants to know what I think. Well, I love the idea of a meat substitute, first of all. I especially like the product if it's good. That can be hard to find, and that could be a little bit of a double-edged sword. We do need complete protein for it to be high biological value. High biological value, HBV protein, is essential because it contains all of the 9 to 10 essential amino acids. 10 if you're a baby, 9 when you're grown up. Anyway. So we don't necessarily get all of the required amino acids from plant proteins, with the exception of maybe a couple. Soy is one. Soy is a complete protein. It has all the essential amino acids. But as you know, soy has its own problems. Let me name them. If you have hypothyroidism, an underactive thyroid, soy is one of the biggest goitrogens out there, meaning it can interfere with your thyroid even further. Soy actually interferes with the uptake of iodine by your thyroid gland. Iodine is necessary to make hormones T3 and T4 for you to have a properly functioning thyroid. Soy will also interfere with your thyroid medicine, something I talked about last week's podcast when I talked about the interference of coffee when you take it too close to your thyroid medication. So soy, even though it has all the essential amino acids, great, and it's a mainstay among vegetarians and vegans, we know that, is problematic because it's goitrogenic, number one. Number two, it's probably the most genetically modified organism in this country now is our soy crop. But I'll bet for those of you who eat soy, it's easy enough for you to find non-GMO soy. It's out there. It's not even only in your health food store anymore. It's in your regular supermarket because they're having more health foods and know that the consumer is more educated about GMO and GMO products. So the third problem with soy, and this is controversial, you've heard me talk about it before, it contains phytoestrogens. Well, depending on which body of scientists you're speaking to, the phytoestrogens in soy may be problematic or they may be beneficial. They are problematic for those who assert that those additional phytoestrogens are adding too much estrogen to the body, and that can become a problem. You don't want to have estrogen dominance. On the other hand, another body of scientists assert that those phytoestrogens take the place in the body's estrogen receptors as a weaker estrogen because it's a plant estrogen, right? Thereby being able to completely bypass the body's own endogenous estrogen, which is more powerful. So having those plant proteins, having the plant estrogens, the phytoestrogens from soy taking up that space in our receptors may be beneficial for those with estrogen dominance. And, you know, the jury is still out. I don't know the answer to that. I don't have a satisfactory answer for you. Anyway, getting back to the question of replacing meat with a plant-based protein. Everybody's trying to do it. Everybody's looking for it. Here was one that was brought to my attention, one particular product. I don't think they've even rolled out the product yet, but I took a look at their website because I was excited. Hey, I would love to find a plant protein that's got all the required amino acids, and I don't have to pay for very expensive grass-fed meat. I would love to be able to do that because grass-fed meat is expensive. Even the ground grass-fed beef is up to, you know, $13, $14 a pound at this point. It's getting a little bit ridiculous. Anyway, there is one plant protein that is a complete protein. It has all 9 essential amino acids. It's hemp seed. And it's one of the few plant foods containing the proper proportion of all 9 essential amino acids for humans. Hemp seed, and this is in the wonderful Food and Nutrition magazine that I get about once a month in the mail. Hemp seed has about 10 grams of protein per ounce. It's a good source of polyunsaturated fats. And the hearts of hemp are shelled versions of this round seed with a texture similar to pine nuts and a mild grassy taste. Use hemp seed oil for finishing dishes or making vinaigrettes. So hemp seed, if you're looking for another protein powder because you love your protein drink in the morning for breakfast or once a day or however you do it, or after the gym, and you don't want to take whey protein because you want to get away from dairy, or you have a problem with whey, or you're vegan or you're vegetarian, hemp protein is a viable option. I love hemp protein. I would love to see it incorporated into a non-meat product that may resemble a burger. Anyway, so I checked out this source, beyondmeat.com. And I looked at the ingredient lists on several of their products. Most of their protein source, their plant protein source, is pea protein isolate. Some of the other ingredients they have that you'll see on their website is canola oil, flaxseed oil, sunflower oil. They use a DHA source. Their algal oil is a DHA source from algae. They do have other binders like methylcellulose, but methylcellulose we find in our supplements, many of our supplements. So I don't have a problem with that. They do, however, have carrageenan. I also find that many of their products contain caramel color. You know, the caramel color in your soda, in your cola, and even other products. Caramel color is not a terrific ingredient. It may be somewhat carcinogenic. There's yeast extract, unfortunately. And yeast extract, as you know, may be a source of monosodium glutamate. There's also maltodextrin. That's not bad. Maltodextrin typically comes from corn, but may not. Could be a gluten source. However, they do claim that many of their products at Beyond Meat are gluten-free, so that's a wonderful thing. But there are these other ingredients in here that I'm not going to find in my grass-fed meat patty, so I have a little bit of a problem. I don't want to be taking in the caramel color, the MSG. I love the pea protein idea. I think it's terrific. Not a great fan of carrageenan because those with gut issues, GI problems, carrageenan can be problematic and cause more inflammation. So, other things that are in there, are fortified with vitamins and minerals. This is wonderful. Vegetable extract mixes of spinach, broccoli, carrot, beet, shiitake mushroom. This is all good. It's the other ingredients that are problematic, some even containing some phosphates. Phosphates are problematic, possibly for the kidneys. But, hey, I love that the total carbohydrate grams in one of these products is low. The total carbs are 7. The dietary fiber is 4. So when we subtract the dietary fiber from the total carbs, that's 7 minus 4. It's really 3 net carbohydrate grams, which is terrific. It's low. Protein grams are 23, very impressive. The total fat is 16 grams. No trans fats here at all. It's got 20% of your daily value of iron, vitamin E, and vitamin B12. It's got 25% of your daily value of B6. Vitamin D is 20%. Some calcium, vitamin A, even some vitamin C. You're not going to find vitamin C in your meat, right? So they've got it here, which is pretty good. But again, buyer beware, weigh carefully what you want to eat. And remember that in your grass-fed and organic meats, you're not getting all of these other ingredients. You know, some of the ingredients include sugar. I mentioned phosphates. I found even in one titanium dioxide, which is a microparticle. Titanium dioxide is not terrific if you have Crohn's disease or colitis. If you look under a microscope at these low microparticles, particularly titanium dioxide, you will find that they're quite sharp, which can actually injure the gut. Anyway, buyer beware, I'm constantly looking for a good vegan complete protein source of plant protein for my non-meat eating clients, my vegetarian clients, my vegan clients, my meat eating clients who are tired of paying so much for grass-fed and organic, who would like some kind of a substitute that is just as tasty, maybe not as expensive. I hear you. I am really tired of paying so much for grass-fed meat. Anyway, there was an article that Chris Kresser wrote that I liked comparing grass-fed meat to commercial meat, and commercial meat may not be so bad in terms of its fatty acid composition. You know, in the factory-farmed animals, you have a lot more omega-6 than omega-3, maybe not as was once thought, according to Chris. Maybe more like 7 to 1 instead of 20 to 1, but I still have a problem with the hormones and the antibiotics that are there. So again, we're left with having to resort to grass-fed and organic, your organic free-range chicken. It's inexpensive enough to get organic eggs. These are complete sources of protein, and eggs on a protein list scores the highest because you're going to feed a baby chick with that. You've got most of your nutrition right there. Mary, I thank you for your email, and I invite anybody out there who knows of any plant sources of complete protein that might be suitable for vegetarians and vegans without all these other ingredients, which I don't find appealing myself personally. Okay. Hey, for those of you exercisers, and for those of you who practice Tai Chi is a form of it's a martial art. It's also a form of exercise, which is wonderful. And recently, researchers have found that Tai Chi can lower blood pressure in older people as effectively as drugs or aerobic exercise, a new meta-analysis suggests. This was found at the American College of Sports Medicine 2016 annual meeting. And besides that, Tai Chi provides other benefits. If you've never done Tai Chi, and I have, I was actually a big fan of Tai Chi about 20 years ago. It helped me get over an inner ear disturbance that I had at the time. And Tai Chi was wonderful. It was very, very sedating. I found it equivalent to taking something like a theanine or valerian or something. Wonderful. But Tai Chi has other benefits. It can help improve your balance, which is especially important for anyone with an inner ear disturbance, which I had at the time, 20 years ago. But it's also great for older adults who may have balance issues. So the other thing is antihypertensive drugs has a slew of adverse reactions and side effects. And for older people, aerobic exercise can be difficult, can be uncomfortable, can be too wearing on their joints, especially if they have arthritis or any diminishing cartilage in their knees. So anybody with osteoarthritis, certainly rheumatoid arthritis. Anyway, to understand how effective an alternative that Tai Chi could be for lowering blood pressure, researchers looked at the medical literature and they searched for ways to combine the effects of many small studies, hence this meta-analysis. All right. So in a pooled cohort, the average age was about 62 years, an average BMI of a 25, which is just in the cusp of the overweight category, and with an average systolic blood pressure of 135, that's the top number of your blood pressure, 135, and the average diastolic blood pressure of 80, that's the bottom number. 62% of the people were women, 56% were Asian, and 39% were white. And on average, the Tai Chi exercise was performed for about an hour per session, about three times a week for about 20 weeks. And during this time, the researchers found that the average drop in systolic blood pressure was 6 millimeters mercury, and in diastolic blood pressure was 3 millimeters mercury. Quote, reductions are comparable to first-line antihypertensive medications, said Dr. Pescatello. They are consistent with what has typically been prescribed. So for those of you with pre-hypertension, any hypertension or you're monitoring your blood pressure at home, it's like 130 over 80, which is you're already at beginning. You've just walked into the foyer of pre-hypertension and hypertension, and you don't want to go on a blood pressure-lowering medication, you may want to look into taking up Tai Chi. Yoga is also very, very beneficial. So when researchers looked at these outcomes, what they found was there was a good average reduction in systolic and diastolic blood pressure in people who performed Tai Chi more than three times a week. And Tai Chi is a wonderful low-intensity physical activity with elements of attention to breathing and relaxation. So, Tai Chi can reduce blood pressure through a variety of mechanisms. It was explained that it could reduce stress, I would say absolutely, in my memory of doing it, and improve autonomic control. It's the autonomic nervous system, sympathetic and parasympathetic that also are controllers of blood pressure can help to lower or raise blood pressure. And it was also shown that yoga decreases anxiety and heart rate. And yoga, too, has shown the capacity to lower blood pressure. This was pointed out at the annual meeting of the American College of Sports Medicine. Wonderful stuff. So any of you who can't do aerobics, can't do any of that because it hurts your joints or you feel you don't have the energy, look into Tai Chi. It's wonderful. Go join some people in the park, in your local park, who may be doing that early on a Saturday morning. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.